Hello and welcome to another episode of Radio Contra, the podcast of American Partisan. I'm NC Scout coming to you live from the hills of North Carolina in the G Camp inside the Tactical Operations Center of the Mossy Oak Militia. Had a little bit of Cavalera conspiracy coming at you as we come on the air. Max and Igor Cavalera, really cool dudes, man. They've been in the metal scene for a long time. Probably best known for Sepultura, but they made a big splash. Sepultura, Cavalera Conspiracy, Soulfly, and one of my favorites we featured on the last episode of Radio Contra's Nail Bomb. Cool stuff, man. Really cool stuff. And growing up in the 90s, man, metal, it was an interesting time to be a kid, especially a kid into music. It was awesome country music, awesome bluegrass music as it made its way into the mainstream. And of course, we had metal, grunge, and all that good aggressive stuff. Anyway, moving on into the news. Obviously, what is snagging up the headlines right now is the Wuhan virus. It has spread to the United States. It's looking pretty serious. There was a story earlier today that a case has been found in Orange County, California, and that would make number 3. There's a worldwide death toll of 56. And so I think that death toll is deceptively small. Now, that's not me saying go out and panic by any means. I am definitely not saying that. But this disease, this virus, is communicable before there are any signs or symptoms of it. So it makes it fairly dangerous. And for that reason, it's interesting that China has prompted the response that it has, cutting off the entire city of Wuhan. It is a respiratory virus. It's very similar to the flu, and it causes a form of pneumonia, according to everybody that I've talked to about this. But what we don't know is what the second and third order effects of the disease actually is. And so I think that's cause for serious concern. That's definitely cause for the isolation and quarantining of persons that have been infected with it, the 3 cases here in the United States, because we don't know what else it does besides cause pneumonia. But one thing that I will say is that before anybody panics or anybody flips out or anything like that, approach this the same way that you would the flu. Here in the United States, we live in relative luxury. And part of that is because we have very high sanitation standards, whether it is our personal hygiene or the fact that, you know, any restaurant or anywhere that you go where your food is prepared for you, there's going to be a health inspector's seal of approval up there. There's going to be a certificate with a grade on it or some sort of verification saying, hey, you know, this is a clean place. Well, China is a third world nation with a first world economy. And when we say that, in the touristy parts of China, it's fairly clean and whatnot. But if you get too far off the beaten path, you're going to see some interesting things. And hygiene is not necessarily the top of the list or their main concern. And we'll just put it like that. As well as their standards of what they eat is very different than what we do in the United States and maybe what would be acceptable in other parts of the world. But the market where this disease originated was selling live koalas, wolf pups, and, you know, assorted other exotic meats. It's so, you know, it was bound to happen. It was bound to happen eventually, but it's what I like to term survivability factor of humans, the Malthusian trap, so to speak, that we're always able to figure out a way. And, you know, it's another way to appreciate modern medicine and a way to appreciate American medicine, because I promise you this, it's not going to be Chinese medicine that figures out a vaccine to this. It's going to be American medicine. American medicine. It's not going to be some socialist answer to what is a solution presented by the free market. It's going to be an American answer. And so, while I'm not telling you to panic, and I am hardly the person that's qualified to talk about this, I know how to keep you alive if you've been blown up or had a gunshot or any other kind of trauma long enough to get you to an ER. But aside from that, my academic expertise is in sociology, so yeah. But what I will say is that it's very similar to the flu. And the deaths that have occurred from this, unfortunately, and the deaths that will occur from this are probably most likely from people who have pre-existing conditions. So that means the old and the infirm, and unfortunately young folks as well, you know, probably under the age of 5. So it's pretty serious stuff, you know, take the same precautions. Take those same precautions. But again, we don't know what the second and third order effects are from this. And if we're to look at other things in China, kind of take in the totality of the circumstances, when we look at the fact that Hong Kong is still a hotbed of political instability, and there are certainly several challenges to Chinese president for life, Xi Jinping, this is as much a demonstration of power as it is containing a virus. So it's something to think about. But again, I'm not panicking. I'm not going to freak out about it. I'm not one to panic anyway, especially not over viruses. You know, and as I was discussing with some other folks in the past couple days, there is, or at least seems to be, an inverse relationship between the ease of getting the virus, contracting the virus, and its lethality. So, you know, Ebola is, by all intents and purposes, not the easiest disease to contract, and its mortality rate is very high. Most strains of the flu, in turn, have a relative low mortality rate. You're just going to feel like crap for a while. So we'll see. And as anybody who has been to the Middle East and got dysentery, or what I call the Haji flu over there, you know that you're going to be feeling pretty rough if you get that too. Let's talk about ammo. Ammo.com, site sponsor of American Partisan and overall excellent company to do business with. I've got some 7.62x39 on order from them right now. They've got some of the best prices on the net, bar none. A case of Tula 122 grain full metal jacket for coming in at $189. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? Not only that, they are a huge supporter of the Second Amendment. They're a huge supporter of freedom, and they're a huge supporter of you. They sent me an article earlier today in remembrance of Lavoie Finicum. Lavoie Finicum, probably most famously, was a rancher and was killed in the Malheur standoff and was gunned down by cops and the FBI that were all out there, and he was on his way with other people in the vehicle to meet with the local sheriff. It was an unfortunate end, and we're not going to forget you, brother. You know, you got to take a stand, and those guys out there were taking a stand against the very unjust actions of the Bureau of Land Management, and we've got that up on American Partisan right now. But anyway, that comes from our site sponsor, ammo.com. If you click the link in the sidebar, you'll get $15 off your first order of $200 or more. Supports them, it supports us, and it supports you. So check them out. So what's going on in the gun world? SHOT Show is going on this weekend, and I was invited by three different vendors to come out. I declined all three. As I explained to them, I've got a really intense training schedule coming up, and I needed some time with the family. You know, it seems like the deeper we get into this stuff, the less time that we have for our respective families. And to be fair, that really comes first. Family always comes first. You know, family, faith, God, and guns. You know, and for me, yeah, I look at my family as a blessing, as should everyone else who is sane and normal. You know, they deserve your time too. They love you. You know, you got to keep your house in order. But anyway, I've been passed along a bunch of stuff, really cool things that have come out of SHOT Show. And a few things of note that has caught my eye. And the first thing is coming from Sig Sauer. Sig has made what they call the Cross rifle. Being a precision shooter and, you know, having that background that I have in the Army, being part of multiple sniper sections and then going on and doing some F-class shooting and reloading and whatnot. You know, I've always been a Remington guy, and Savage makes a great rifle too. And, you know, you've got Howa out there that is just building some good stuff. And I mean, it's really a great time to be a bolt gun guy. And Sig is jumping into the game with a very interesting rifle, because the whole thing is a chassis system with its bolt action inside of it. And it kind of, what it reminds me of, if anybody out there listening is a precision shooter, they'll know about Q, or the Answer rifles. Really expensive high-end bolt gun, competition bolt gun. I had a guy bring one out to class. These things are super nice. Well, Sig is building one very similar to that at about half the price tag. This thing is coming in at $1,800, which might seem expensive to some folks. But the features that this thing boasts, and the fact that it weighs 6 pounds unloaded, that is something to get just truly excited for. You get an M-Lock handguard on it. So any of the accessories that I want to put on there, if it's, you know, if I'm putting on a Wilcox Raptor for doing the ranging thing, you know, any of the optics interface that I want to put on there, thermal, night vision, anything, it's all in a nice, neat package. Nothing that you have to add to it. Uses Accuracy International mags. Man, I'm really, really excited about this rifle. Coming in at $1,800, I've already got the optic to slap on the top of it. Man, I'm just really, it's a SWFA HD, and man, I'm just really, really excited for it. Comes in 6.5 Creedmoor, which is, anybody out there is a competition shooter, you're going to know that 6.5 Creedmoor is just the go-to caliber for competition, because that thing is just, it's a flat shooter out to 1,000. I mean, it makes 1,200 meter shots just stupid easy. It's also coming in a Wildcat caliber. I think it's 277 or 278 SIG, but it is SIG's in-house Wildcat. And if I understand right, I've been told by a couple of sources that it is going to be SIG's submission for the new Army Sniper Weapon System program. So that's pretty cool. I'm not big on Wildcat calibers. Just from logistics, from my point of view, I'm a, you know, what can I keep supplied kind of guy. And so for that reason, this rifle coming in 7.62x51 NATO or 308 is really the most attractive option to me because I reload for 308. So I do my own precision reloads. And, you know, all my other rifles, precision rifles that I have, as well as a couple of semi-autos are all in 308. And, you know, for me, that's a better option. But I am so stoked about this gun, man. This thing is going to be really, really cool. And it should be hitting the market here pretty soon. So, you know, I don't have any contacts over at SIG proper at their Exeter factory up in New Hampshire. But, you know, if anybody from SIG's listening, definitely giving you guys a shout. But I will be picking one up just to work with, just to train with, and give y'all feedback on it as I get my hands on it. But talking about a company that I do have some folks that I talk to every once in a while, Palmetto State Armory is launching some really cool products. They're putting out some really good stuff this year. They're expanding their AK lineup. They are doing all of the AK models that have been banned in the United States or banned for importation, like the Norinco with the spike bayonet. So if you know anybody out there is an AK collector or an AK aficionado, that's going to be fairly interesting. I'm interested in the AK-103 clone because the AK-103 is taking the world market. That is the one that Russia is putting out most commonly now for export sales. So as a training weapon, that's a pretty cool way to go. And I've got a couple of AKs that are set up in that AK-103 variant design with polymer furniture and whatnot. But I would like to pick one up, you know, just in the actual configuration with a 90-degree gas block and everything, just because it'll be cool. But what I'm really excited for is the fact that they are doing a 9x39 and a 6.5 Grendel that they have in the works. And so if you're not familiar with 9x39, it is the caliber that the Russians developed as a subsonic round, very similar to the 300 Blackout. But with the 300 Blackout out there, you're probably asking why 9x39? And that answer should be real simple. It's a little more energy at about the same range, makes a bigger hole, and it's cheaper. It's a steel-cased Tula ammo. They are importing the ammo into the U.S., even though there's very, very few weapons that are designed to use it right now. But Palmetto State's getting ahead of that curve. So that's pretty cool. That's something to get excited about. The other thing is that 6.5 Grendel AK is coming out. 6.5 Grendel, in my opinion, is probably the best intermediate caliber cartridge for a semi-auto out there today. It's a flat shooter, it's low recoil, it's a very accurate round, and believe it or not, its parent case is 7.62x39. So, it's right at home in an AK, and, you know, there's a lot of ARs floating around out there for it, and they're doing some awesome things. For a very short time, until Obama banned the importation of Vepers from Russia, there was a Veper in 6.5 Grendel that was being imported. Wanted to pick one up, but at the time, funds just weren't there. I just couldn't justify it, and you know, I missed the boat. And I think a lot of people missed the boat on those Vepers. And from what I saw handling them, man, they were nice rifles. But that being said, Palmetto State is going to be your hookup. And there's some really cool other AK manufacturers here in the United States is doing some good stuff. Kalashnikov USA, they are building some cool stuff. I got handed some information on them, what they've got coming out. They have their own AK-103 clone coming out. And it's not even, well, at least they claim it's not a clone so much as it is an actual genuine AK-103. So I'm likely to be picking one of those up too, just to give my thoughts on it. little fun fact that some of y'all might not know, but you will by the end of this show, is that I have been a lifelong fan of the AK. Love the AR-15, love the AK. I love anything that goes boom, but the AK has always been one of my favorites. But they're coming out with one too, and you know, the Yugo company, Zastava out of Serbia, they're bringing in or reintroducing their import line. They broke away from Century Arms. Century Arms was previously the importer of the Yugo guns, and or I should properly say the Serbian guns. They're doing their own thing. Zastava is importing them on their own. So if you've ever owned a Yugo AK or a Serbian AK, you're going to know that those are just top quality. A little on the heavy side. The Serbians overbuilt their weapons. The dimensions are a little different than standard AKs, but they're just building some good stuff. It's a good time to be an AK shooter. It really is. I mean, it's a good time to be a shooter in general, but AK shooter, man, we've got some cool stuff in the works. But that said, Palmetto State Armory, site sponsor, site affiliate. Click on the link in the sidebar. Check out what they've got. I'm a big fan of their weapons. I have one of their AKs on hand right now, taking a look over at it. And I'm going to be talking about that a whole lot more, including doing a post on my initial observations and putting my first 100 rounds down the tube on that thing. You know, we'll be talking about that a lot more in the coming weeks. But Palmetto State, check them out. Their express purpose as a company is to put so many firearms in the hands of the American citizens that no gun buyback or no anti-gun legislation will be of any effect, because you are that armed. Now keep in mind, there's going to come a day that you have to use those weapons, unfortunately. But Palmetto State, they're right at the forefront. They are a great company. They are probably the most outspoken Second Amendment supporting company, gun company out there. And I am very proud to stand beside them in their mission. So check them out. Also, Five Principles of Patrolling: planning, recon, security, control, and common sense, right? Yeah, but the sixth principle of patrolling: looking cool while doing it. Ranger up. Go get a cool guy t-shirt. Wear that sucker out to the range. Ranger up's got a bunch of them on tap, and they're coming out with new designs every month. Go check them out. Site affiliate. And on that note, going out to the range, how many mags you got? Have you got enough? Wrong answer. You don't have enough. Check out Gun Mag Warehouse. So, tonight I want to talk about the AK. Now that I've spent the past several minutes talking about it, I think I want to talk about it as the guy who is a prepper, the guy who teaches firearms, the guy who teaches tactics, you know, as a shooter. I want to talk about the AK as a weapon system and why you might be interested in it. The AK is a great weapon, and I know this is going to ignite a crazy debate about, you know, AR versus AK versus M14 versus FAL versus, you know, insert whatever weapon platform you want. But man, the AK is a weapon to respect. It really is. And for a lot of reasons, man, its enduring popularity owes as much to its capability as it does its supply in the world. Just talking about sheer numbers of this rifle out there, millions and millions and millions of them. Yeah, and it's like in Iraq or Afghanistan, you see, you know, the locals that are carrying it around, and even the insurgents that are using them, and these rifles have just had the tar beat out of them. probably never been cleaned, neglected, decades of neglect, especially in Afghanistan. And they still work, man. They just work. You know, and a lot of the AK's detractors out there will say, the Ergos suck, and, the AR is so much more modern and faster and optics integration and everything. And, man, you're right. I mean, I'm not disputing that. I'm not here to argue at the altar of a weapons platform, man. I'm of the mind that you should be deadly with anything in your hands. Oh, the warrior is deadly with any weapon he can get his hands on. And so for me, I was always fascinated with the AK because growing up as a kid in the 90s and reading Soldier of Fortune magazine and seeing all this crazy stuff, these insurgencies that were going on in the world and everything else, you always saw an AK at the forefront of that. It was a weapon to be respected, certainly a weapon to be respected. But, you have to use everything within its operating parameters as well. The Russians don't consider the AK to be a rifle. They consider the SVD to be a rifle. The AK, if you look at any Russian field manual out there, and, I've got a few on the bookshelf from the Cold War era that were handed down to me, as well as some reproduced materials and stuff. The Russians consider the AK to be a submachine gun, and they refer to it as a submachine gun in nearly all of their publications. Even Viktor Suvorov, who very famously wrote Inside the Aquarium, he was a Soviet GRU general and defected to Britain back in the Soviet days. But he wrote a whole series of books, and one of them that was really good was Spetsnaz. And he just laid out the command control, what we call C2, the training, the missions, and all of the clandestine stuff, as well as overt capabilities of the Spetsnaz. It's a pretty cool book. And he talks about the AK quite a bit in it. And, they look at it as a submachine gun. And within 300 meters, within 200 meters with iron sights is definitely attainable. And, out to 300, stretching it a little bit, but if you have a good shooter who's really had time to sort that weapon out and get a feel for it, they can get easily hits on target out to 300 meters. But there's some other things that I think are merits in the AK's column. And the first one is it's incredibly simple to operate and maintain. I mean, to take the AK apart, all you got to do is hit the button on the back of the receiver, pop that top cover off, and pull the spring, and that's pretty much it. And I mean, you've got to be a complete idiot if you can't take that thing apart and at least, put it back together. And it's very simple to operate, very simple to clean. It is a very reliable weapon. I mean, is the AK 100% reliable? No. If you get mud down in the action of it, down in the trigger, you're probably going to end up with a dead trigger. Can it still fire? Yeah, but I have seen a malfunction, and normally when the AK malfunctions, it's either going to be a dead trigger because there's something going on in the trigger, there's some sort of dirt or something in there, or it's a bad magazine. And growing up, becoming an AK shooter in the days of dirt cheap AK surplus stuff in the early 2000s, there were a lot of bad mags out there, a lot of bad mags. And, these days, not so much. But then again, I mean, when you were paying $3 a piece for them, you didn't really expect the best in the world anyway. But, getting back to where the AK shines, the Ergos aren't as fast as the AR, but in inexperienced troops' hands, maybe in the hands of a guerrilla, and especially in a woodland environment like where I live in the hills, it actually might be better. And what I mean by that is if somebody's getting shot at, you know, that's not really an everyday occurrence for most of us. Thank God it's not an everyday occurrence for me. But for those of us that have been shot at in the audience, you know that our bodies do some weird stuff, especially the first time we get shot at. We get a little weird, a little strange, and we default to our highest level of training. So if you take an AK that's very simple, you know, what I teach in class, and I've got a Kalashnikov class coming up in the fall where I hinge my thumb on the back of the pistol grip and use my index finger and middle finger kind of paired together, and I switch that selector lever down. That way I get the most leverage there. It's a real simple motion. It's a very simple motion, you know, whereas with the AR, the selector switch and all that. And I'm talking about a new guy here. I'm not talking about a trained soldier who's had hours and hours and hours on the range. I'm talking about a guy like, you know, he just came out of the woodwork. You put this rifle in his hands and was like, hey, let's run through some battle drills. You know, you might have a couple days to train this guy up, or, you know, a week. The AR might not be the best thing for him. The AK might be a little bit better, maybe. And then again, maybe not. I mean, it, you know, there's just the controls on an AR can be a little more intimidating than an AK. That's all I'm saying. The other thing is that the magazine. While magazine changes are slower with the AK, they're also more positive. And what I mean by that is I've seen it. I've seen this in troops, young soldiers, that it was their first time in combat, you know, and you've trained them up. And it's the first time they've been shot at. They're going to do some weird stuff. And when they're doing a magazine change under stress, you know, they may not see that magazine all the way. It may, the mag might have broken feed lips or something crazy might happen. That mag might drop back out. You know, on the AK, hang that lip, rock it back into place. You hear that positive click, you know, and you're ready to go. Run the bolt. You know, I like whichever method works better for you, reaching underneath the weapon and running the bolt with your non-firing hand, or reaching over top of the weapon, whichever one's faster, you know, and that's just a training issue, but that's all you got to do. Of course, then there's also the Iraqi reload out there. Had one of my brothers in Lurs back in the day that was a big fan of the Iraqi reload, and that was on that last bolt, or that last round, the bolt would hang to the rear, and that's because they were using Serbian mags, by the way. There's a whole story I got about that. Al-Qadisiyah heavy weapons industry in Iraq was all Serbian equipment. All the most common AKs in Iraq were actually Serbian or Yugoslavian manufacture and patterned. So they had bolt hold open magazines, and the bolt would be at the rear on that last round, and they would just hold with their firing hand, they would just hold the bolt to the rear and do their mag change. That's why it was called the Iraqi reload. It's pretty cool. Yeah, a little story behind it. But circling back, why I think that it's a effective weapon for irregular forces in a heavily wooded or kind of jungle terrain is because it's so robust. You know, and if you've got people that the tactics behind fire and maneuver are still a new concept to them, you know, maybe they're not the most precise shooters in the world, but the open sights themselves do lend themselves to speed. You know, not by today's standards where we put red dots on everything and you know, we're concerned with split times and all that. But they still do work pretty well, especially, you know, and again, we're not talking about the guy that spends thousands of dollars on classes and is always at the range every weekend and whatever. We're not talking about that guy. We're talking about a guy who, you know, Johnny come lately, and you need to equip these people quickly and come up with an effective training plan where seconds count. You know, you might not have weeks to train this guy up. The AK might be an attractive platform. You know, and in that jungle or wooded terrain, jungle lanes where targets are anywhere from 10 to 50 meters away, and you're probably shooting through cover and shooting on the move, that 7.62 by 39 is a very good caliber for that. Punches through cover pretty effectively, especially in some of its other loadings. Like if you're using soft points are a really good deer cartridge around here. They work on feral hogs too. And it's got a little more punch than the 5.56 does. And you know, I favor the 5.56, especially at longer ranges. And I think it's a great caliber. 7.62 by 39 just has a little more energy, and in some cases, a lot more energy at close range, especially if you're using ammunition that's purpose made for combat. And you know, it's evolved quite a bit since the days of the Cold War. So I think that it's a good weapon. And when we talk about the logistics of the AK, man, the ammo, like I was just talking about, the ammo for the AK, you can't beat it. Even really effective rounds, like 8M3, for example. I've written about 8M3 in the past. 8M3 is a Russian-designed anti-personnel round. It fragments when it hits. Man, that's good stuff. And when you talk about, you can pick up a case of this stuff. It's 124 grain, hollow point. You can pick up a case of this stuff for under $220. I mean, come on. Can't beat it. You can't beat it. So if you're having to equip a large number of people in short order, it might be a good idea to have a few AKs around. Maybe a couple AKs, two or three. Have some. Have some on hand. Know the platform. And that's the other thing, too, is when we're talking about guerrilla movements or we're talking about partisan actions, you know, we don't necessarily always have the weapons that we have in our hands right now, right? Like, you know, I guess if the world went sideways right now, a lot of people have asked me in emails and stuff, you know, oh, if things went sideways right now, what would you use? I don't know. It depends on what I'm doing. You know, if the world goes sideways today or tomorrow, I'm really going to be more worried about securing my family, going and checking on the neighbors and doing that kind of stuff. And, you know, so I'm going to be carrying something light and kind of unobtrusive. Most of the time, I'm probably just going to be carrying a Glock 19. Now, if I'm going out and we're going to be doing actions on the objective and all that cool stuff, well, you know, then I'm going to be carrying a long gun. But, you know, if I'm having to train up potential partisan forces, and I know that there's a likelihood that the AK is going to be in use, so say like, you know, the mythical Red Dawn scenario occurred, you know, if they're using an AK, then yeah, that's what I'm going to carry into harm's way, you know, and if they're not, if they're using an AR, well, then I might be carrying an AR, I don't know. Just depends. It depends on so many different things. But I know this. The AK is a good weapon. And I've never felt undergunned when I have carried one. So put it like that. And it's a weapon that's respected in pretty much every corner of the world. You know, India, as well as Venezuela, both have contracts for building the AK-103. The AK-103 is the modern incarnation of the AKM. The AKM is just a stamped receiver version of the original AK-47. The original AK-47 was a milled receiver, and Soviet cost-cutting measures, they figured out how to get the heat treatment on stamped receiver right. It also made it a little bit lighter. That's the direction that they went with it. That was the AKM. So the AK-103 is essentially the same weapon, just with a 90-degree gas block. as well as black polymer furniture. Sometimes you'll see it in plum polymer furniture, but with a black polymer furniture, and you know, it'll have a few other little upgrades on there. There's a railed top cover that I think the Indian version is using. This is pretty cool stuff. And you know, if you read the notes on why they selected those weapons, I mean, Venezuela selected it because it works well in jungle environments. You know, and I'm sure it didn't hurt things that Cavim was getting the equipment to build the AK-103s in Caracas, Venezuela, pretty cheap. But they're going to be building 50,000 of them over the next year, and then 50,000 for every year after that, plus the ammo. So, you know, I think that it's a good weapon to have. It's a good weapon to train with, you know, if you want to run one as a primary weapon, there's definitely, you definitely could do worse. You definitely could do worse. So a few training tips that I have. The first one is, man, don't treat it like an AR-15. Recognize that it is a different weapon system. It's a whole different platform. So don't treat it like an AR. You know, does that mean that, like that funny meme that goes around with Mikhail Kalashnikov saying, you know, knit rifle is fine. Does that mean, you know, you don't add any optics or anything? Nah. But when you're training with it, you have to have a training or a different training methodology. I tell guys, and I told guys while I was in, that the AK, when we're training on the AK, think of that the same way you would an M14. It's very similar, just a little bit smaller and lighter than the M14, because that thing can be a beast to maneuver. And the AK, not so much. You know, the mechanics of that magazine change are where a lot of people get hung up. It's a different animal, man. It is a different motion, and no, it's not as fast. I mean, I'm not gonna sit here and tell you that it's as fast. Oh, it's as fast as an AR. Nah, man, it's not. But does it mean that with training you can't be effective? No. I mean, you absolutely can. People are doing it all the time. So it's a training issue. You know, it's a training issue. So speed on the sight picture, if you're running irons with the AK and nothing else, think of it the same way you would the old school lever action, like a Marlin 30-30 or, you know, a Winchester. Focus on that front sight and then line the blade up with it. It's pretty fast. The AK sights were designed at a time that sight type was very popular on submachine guns. The Sturmgewehr, the STG-44 had similar sighting system on it, and that was just what they had. Does that mean it doesn't work? No. One thing that I like to do with the sights is cut the notch out a little bit wider. It makes it a little bit faster. You might give up a little bit in accuracy when you're doing that, but I mean, we're talking about a 2 to 3 minute of angle gun anyway. So I don't expect uber match grade accuracy out of an AK. Maybe you do. That's fine. I do expect that out of an AR. I don't expect it out of an AK. Doesn't mean that it's not accurate though. I mean, you know, hold 2 or 3 inches up to your chest and, you know, that's still solid hits. But, talking about optics, there's a few options out there that I think are really good as far as integrating optics to it, and it really depends on what you want to do. That side rail mount that is on there, originally that side rail was placed on there for the Soviet night vision setup that they were using in Afghanistan at the very beginning of Afghanistan, and that sucker was huge. If you ever look up pictures of this thing, I mean, the old Soviet Gen 1 night vision, a sucker was huge. But they would slide it onto the side rail. You know, we've come a long way since then, thankfully. There is a side rail mount. There's a few out there that are made that are really good quality. RS Regulate or Romeo Sierra Regulate, they make awesome products. I've got one of their original 30mm tube mounts. And really good stuff. Really, really good product. Midwest Industries also makes one that's really good. It's Picatinny rail that goes on the side. I think it's pretty nice. And for me, at least, what I think is the best of them all for the AK is using an Ultimac. And what an Ultimac is, it replaces the gas tube, and you have two U-bolts that go around the barrel, and you screw it in place. And those U-bolts go underneath the handguard. The thing is rock solid. I've run it on a bunch of AKs that I've had, and gosh, I've probably owned over a dozen AKs over the years. I only sold them, but of literally every variant you can imagine, all of them, literally from every one of the nations that produces an AK, with the exception of a Mahdi. I never had an Egyptian Mahdi, but yeah. Anyway, I've used Ultimac on all of them, and if you're gonna run a red dot sight and a tac light with an offset mount, man, that's the best way to go. You use something like an Aimpoint T1. You've just got a really solid setup, and you don't have to monkey with the irons or anything. You know, Texas Weapon Systems makes a replacement top cover, and I've got one of those laying around too. I've run those on the AK. They're okay until you have to disassemble the rifle, and then you're going to get some zero shift in there. Now, I had the first gen one. They've had a couple generations since then. I have not used one of their newest ones where they say they've fixed that issue. So I don't know, but, I think the AK for all intents and purposes is a very well suited rifle to a red dot style sight, because of its design parameters. I don't think that it gains much if you're using a magnified optic, but, that said, you know, hey, it does everything that you need it to do. And I mean, if you can't hit a target at 300 meters with a red dot sight, you might need to go to a rifle class. And that's just really the long and short of it. So let's talk about some of the AKs out there that I think are really nice, for the money, and kind of working our way up from the least expensive to the most expensive out there. Couple of American-made options, and really the only two from what I've seen and used on my own that I think are worth your time and effort. The first one is the Visca. It is made by Century Arms. Century Arms caught a lot of flack in the past, and deservedly so. The RAS 47 is a piece of junk. Okay, that thing was just bad news. People reported issues with the C39, which was a milled receiver AK. Century Arms, like I said, they've caught a lot of flack for a lot of different weapons that they have put out, and I'm not taking up for them at all. But the VSKA or the Visca, every one that I've handled has been nice, well put together, well finished, and shot well. Robsky over at AK Operators Unit, he's done his now legendary, kind of the benchmark in the AK world of what makes a good AK, the 5,000 round test that he does. And he gave it a go. I mean, he couldn't find fault with it structurally or any of the mechanics of it. So, you know, I can't disagree with that. I haven't put 5,000 rounds down the tube of one, so I'm only going off of what he did and, you know, and what I have shot of them personally, and they seem to be well finished. The next one's Palmetto State Armory. Right now, I'm working with their Triangle Side Folder model Gen 3. It's a good weapon, you know. 100 rounds down the pipe, that is hardly enough to really make a judgment either way. All I can tell you is what I have shot out of it so far and my impressions of it. But the fit and finish on this weapon is superb. Everything's forged, barrel's good, everything is tight, there's no rattling, nothing. Sometimes the older days of the AK, you'd pick up like an old Wasser or something that's made of surplus parts, and you know, you could sit there and wiggle the bolt back and forth. None of that. Everything is where it's supposed to be. Everything goes bang when it's supposed to go bang. Every magazine that I've put in it, I've got, you know, Polish Circle 11s. I've got Romanian military surplus. I've got Yugo surplus. I've got those awful South Korean steel mags. I got a few of those I've tried in it. The U.S. Palm magazines, and you know, to the superb X-Tech Tactical as well, and the Bulgarian mags. I've got a couple of Bulgarian mags that I got from Gun Mag Warehouse, and they're good too. They're good to go. So literally everything has worked in this AK. I haven't had any issue putting any of those magazines in, and that's not necessarily true if, you know, I'm picking up other variants of AKs out there. Maybe they might have a hard time with certain mags and whatnot. You got to do a little fitting. But so far, this Palmetto State, it's been really good. I shot it for a group after just doing a functions check and firing some rounds out of it. And it got right at 2.5 inches from the kneeling position. So it's a good weapon. I don't have any complaints with it so far. And it does have the triangle side folding stock on it, that old school, you know, it looks like a Khyber Pass AK, kind of has that Khyber Pass look to it, like the old Soviet Afghan War Mujahideen look to it. So I might add some of that really cool green electrical tape, that green jingle tape to it to give it the real cool look. It's just good stuff, man. It's a heck of a lot of fun to shoot. Very light recoil, too, for an AK. And AKs don't have much recoil anyway, but this one, especially for having a metal side folding stock, it didn't seem too bad at all. But the next one on the list is Wasser 10. The Wasser 10, I'm going to say for the money, is the benchmark of the one that you should be looking for. Not necessarily the older Wasser 10s that were on the market up until about 2010 or so, because those were mostly made from surplus parts kits. And they could be really good quality, or they could be really just piss poor quality. You really didn't know what you were getting. But the stuff that's brought into the U.S. today is all new Romanian military manufactured AKs. The only thing that Century Arms does when they bring them in is they put their really cheap birch furniture on it. You know, and I do say that it's cheap. It is cheap furniture, but it doesn't look that bad. Yeah, if you're looking for that traditional AK look, you know, I'm always swapping it out for polymer furniture anyway, so it doesn't really matter to me. But the Wasser 10 chrome line barrel, it is made on military machinery that's been cranking out the AKM since the 1950s, so they know how to build an AK. They make a few different models of the Wasser 10. You know, back in the day, they had a 5.56 version that I think they're trying to reintroduce. They also had a 5.45 version, which it may or may not be imported right now. I'm not sure. I'm not big on 5.45, but the Wasser 10 is out there in its traditional configuration, like an AKM, and then they've got one that combines the front sight post with the gas block, and that's I think they call that the RH10. I picked one up when it was called the M10. Really, really good AK, man, and that thing just handles really fast as well, because you took that front sight post off the front. Jim Fuller out at Rifle Dynamics was one of the first people I saw do this back in the 2008-2009 time frame is when he was doing that. But the Romanians noticed and they did it, and makes for a real quick handling AK, and I really, really like that thing when I run it. So the Wasp of 10 is a good option. You know, what Romania is building today, you know, is a good option. A lot of people that had Wasp of 10s back in the day, you know, they had a reputation for not so good quality. And, you know, I had a couple of those guns, and the ones that are being built today are just miles better. They are actually brand new guns. I'll say that the Yugo AKs or the Zastava M70, really good one. You'll be able to find those. They are importing them again. Zastava broke away from Century as an importer, and they're importing them. Good AK, man. Really good AK. And heavy, I will say that. It is heavier than some of the other options on the market because back in the days of Yugoslavia, they overbuilt their weapon. Normally, a stamp receiver AK uses a 1 millimeter thick receiver. The Yugo AKs use a millimeter and a half. They use an RPK barrel, which is a bull barrel, on theirs. So the whole thing is just heavy duty. And it makes for a bomb-proof AK, though. And the couple that I had were both just outstanding. Very accurate, really well-made, very comfortable to shoot. And again, they had a pretty light recoil because they were heavy. So I liked them. I liked them. And working our way up the list, Arsenal. Arsenal is really just the king of the AK world. That's the Cadillac. They're made in Bulgaria. And, you know, Arsenal has this problem with them that they, when you really want one, you can't find one in stock anywhere. But when you do get one, you're really happy about it. And Arsenal AKs are awesome. They're going to run anywhere from $1,000 to $1,200 range, depending on where you get them from. And, yeah, you're getting a mil-spec rifle. So, you know, there you go. And Arsenal's good stuff. And finally, there's a number of boutique manufacturers out there, most notably Krebs Custom and Rifle Dynamics. So, you know, if you're looking for that very high-end custom AK, those are the guys you're going to want to look at. And, I mean, I know that there's some others on the list. I don't personally know any of those manufacturers, but I can speak for Krebs Custom and I can speak for Rifle Dynamics. You're going to get a good rifle. So if you want to get a high-end AK, maybe once you've been an AK shooter for a while and you want to get something, you know, step up your game to something a little nicer, or a lot a bit nicer in terms of Krebs Custom and Rifle Dynamics, there you go. So, you know, and again, circling back, I don't see any reason not to own at least one as a training tool, if not a go-to weapon. You know, does that mean, you know, oh, NC Scout's an AK guy says AK is the greatest thing ever? No, but I am saying that it is a valuable training tool to have. You know, I'm of the mindset that it's one warrior in any weapon. And I want to be proficient with as many different things out there as I can be. And the AK, it, to me at least, it doesn't make a lot of sense not to have one. I don't have any problems running one here in the United States as a go-to-war carbine if I need to. And that's pretty much the long and short of it. If you agree, if you disagree, hey, that's on you. That's what makes America great. But again, folks, it's been a heck of a lot of fun. Check out the links in the sidebar. Those are our site affiliates. It helps keep the lights on around here, pays for our hosting cost and all of that good stuff. Again, really appreciate all the stuff. And folks, enjoy your life. You only got one shot at this. Until next time, this is NC Scout out.